Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the news at 5:30 on Highland Radio. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. Two Donegal men have been sentenced for sex-related crimes at the Central Criminal Court. The first sod has been turned on a new roundabout at the R232 Lahey-Pedigo Road turnoff on the N15. Over €2.1 million of funding has been allocated to Killy Beggs as part of the 2026 Fishery, Harbour and Coastal Infrastructure Development Programme, and Donegal County Council is being asked to ensure new roadworks in Letterkenny don't commence until after morning rush hour and cease before the evening rush hour begins. These stories in full and more coming up, and Oisin Kelly will be here for his full sports update at around 5:45. But first, a woman who was regularly raped by her brother-in-law has said the abuse meant that she never got the chance to grow into the person she was meant to be, and she is now constantly fighting to stay alive. 56-year-old Eunan Merritt of Crossroads Killigordon was convicted by a jury following an 11-day trial at the Central Criminal Court. He's been jailed for 12 years, with the final 6 months suspended. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Merritt was found guilty of 8 charges of rape, 4 charges of oral rape and 2 charges of sexual assault against Cheryl Laverty, now aged 43, who has waived her right to anonymity on dates between June 1999 and September 2003. In Ms. Laverty's victim impact statement, which was read into the court record, she says she's been trying to rebuild her life and the abuse impacts her daily activities. Continuing, she told Merritt that she was easy to use, easy to silence, easy to shame, but I am handing that shame back to you, she concluded. Mr. Justice Naidu said Merritt had exploited Ms. Laverty's vulnerability and had abused her over an extended period of time. Dara Foyne's SC Defending confirmed her client does not accept the verdict of the jury.
Meanwhile, a man who defiled a teenager having sex with her in his car after bringing her for a spin has been jailed for a year and a half. The 25-year-old Donegal man, who can't be named to protect the anonymity of the victim, was originally charged with rape, but the Central Criminal Court heard a plea of guilty to defilement, which was accepted by the DPP. The girl was 16 years old at the time of the offence, while the man was 21 years of age. The man was the girl's older brother's friend and was a frequent visitor to the family home in the run-up to the offence, which occurred in 2021. The first sod has been turned on a new roundabout at the R232 Lahey-Pedigo Road turn-off on the N15. It's hoped the works will be completed by the end of the year. Temporary traffic management will be in place on both the N15 and R232, with speed limits being enforced and Donegal County Council warning of delays. Cathaoirleach of the Donegal Municipal District, Micheál Nochtain, says it's an important project.
I'm delighted to basically turn the sod on this new roundabout here at Lahey, which will improve traffic flow, it will improve safety, and more importantly, it will save lives. Where the N15 met with the R232, which is the Lahey to Pettigo Road, this junction had been a serious issue for years. And as you rightly said, the N15 is the main link into South Donegal, coming from the Sligo area, or even coming from Inniskillen or Beleek. This is a very busy road. I mean, you know, there have been many of an accident here. I'm sure there's lots of people in the local area that have family members or friends that had an accident here, and we all know that every year there have been accidents reported to the TAI, and this safety measure that will be over €3 million spent on the new roundabout will be a huge investment to the Lahey area and for the safety of lives here going forward.
When do you expect to see this roundabout completed?
Well, I'm chatting with the team there today on the ground, and they're hoping to have it completed within this year, 2026, which will be massive for the area. And again, you know, there will be some traffic basically congestion in the short term, but I mean, there is a traffic management in place. That means the speed limit will be reduced at that, and we'll have a one-way system to the village of Lahey to help there as well to alleviate the traffic congestion. But, you know, overall, I mean, this will be a huge improvement for the safety of life and basically for the betterment of traffic in the future. So I think this is a great day for South Donegal.
Over €2.1 million of funding has been allocated to Killy Beggs as part of the 2026 Fishery, Harbour and Coastal Infrastructure Development Programme. This is part of a wider €27 million of national funding for capital projects in Ireland's publicly owned harbours. Of the money going to Killy Beggs, €400,000 will be spent on safety and maintenance, €400,000 spent on small craft harbour building completion work, and a further €400,000 will be spent on energy saving measures. Donegal County Council is being asked to ensure new roadworks in Letterkenny don't commence until after morning rush hour and cease before evening rush hour begins. It follows a motion at Letterkenny Milford Municipal District from Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, who told members it is a policy that works north of the border. Officials say planning and programming of roadworks already takes potential impact of traffic into account, but Councillor Devine believes more can be done.
I've worked in the north on the roads when this actually happened, you know. And when we have, like, you know, Letterkenny, our traffic situation ourselves, as a supporter of the Active Travel, who supported Donegal, I think tweaks here and there and small changes can make a lot of help to these schemes going forward. I'm asking the council today that they do change the starting times of roadworks, that gets out of the rush hour in the mornings and the evening times, and I think it'll be a big help.
A lot of the work is being done at night, particularly down in the vicinity of the Ballyrain area.
Yeah.
That does appear to be working.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of that work's going on, Donald, where it's not affecting traffic even during the day. It's been done on the green areas down there, which is absolutely great that it's not affecting travel. But there's areas earmarked in Letterkenny for this active travel, and we'll just choose going out to the Ballinacool as an example. The townhouses along that road, that's work can't be done at night. These people never get to sleep, or you know what I mean. So there has to be things done there that we don't affect the traffic in the mornings and the evenings, that these works should be staggered starting times. But I mean, that's all I'm asking for. Don't know, it makes common sense, you know that. So I'm asking the council moving forward at least to take it into consideration.
A Donegal senator says 15 schools have been in contact with him regarding proposed SNA cuts. Principals received notice of their allocations last week for the new school year. Senator Manus Boyle says it is a frightening reality on the ground. During a recent engagement with Education Minister Hildegard Nocton, Senator Boyle raised the cases of each of the schools, to which the minister said she would look into. Senator Boyle says the work of SNAs cannot be underestimated.
In fairness, she said to me, like, I had a list of schools with me, and she said, listen, I'll have to check into to each school and come back to you, you know, to see what's the proposal there. So I'm waiting on that.
And on the flip side of that, Senator, this is jobs on the line.
Oh, there is. I am. Listen, they're jobs, and these are well-trained people. Like, I mean, they've done their level 5, level 6. I mean, you know, it's really hard to believe that they're trying to cut the SNAs in schools. I know there's some schools that the school numbers has gone down and things has to be looked at there, but 90% of or 99% of the schools is working on tight margins the way they are with their SNAs. So it's more SNAs we need, not less.
Minister Nocton insists schools can appeal a decision on their allocations.
And I absolutely accept that there may be cases where schools feel that they require extra resources and they shouldn't be receiving a reduction in the SNA allocation. That's why there is an appeals process.
The government will not be seeking the resignation of Board BIA Chair Larry Murren, despite the continuing farmers' protest at Board BIA's office in Ballsbridge. Agricultural Minister Martin Hayden says he spent 5 hours negotiating with the IFA and other farming organisations on Friday. The IFA claims the minister is kicking the can down the road by refusing to address the loss of farmer confidence in Mr Murren as chair of Board BIA. Minister Hayden says other issues raised by farmers at the talks will be addressed, but Mr Murren will remain.
Government's position on the chair has been absolutely crystal clear, and that hasn't changed and it's not going to change. But the points of concern that farmers have raised around that audit experience is something I believe we can make progress on, and we made very significant progress on it in that meeting last week.
Among those participating in the sit-in is IFA Family Farm representative for Donegal, Christine Freel.
We were on day 14 inside on the sit-in, and outside is day 21 where the protest is happening outside the doors of Board BIA HQ. Once we leave, we don't get in again, so we have no access to get back in. So we're under security here. There's a security man in the doors and our area where we're sleeping. So it's complete, the building's in complete lockdown. It's just us and security here, and no going out till Larry goes, so...
More empty and derelict properties are to be turned into social homes. The government's announced the expansion of the Buy and Renew scheme. Donegal had one of the highest uptakes in the country under the original scheme. Cliona O'Dwyer reports.
This scheme will ensure more long-term vacant and derelict properties across the country will be transformed into high-quality social homes. building contractors will, for the first time, be able to directly get and revamp vacant and derelict properties, providing a new way to bring disused buildings back into use. Before works begin, they must enter into an agreement with a local authority or an approved housing body to buy the homes for social housing when completed. Today's change will allow greater scope for restoring more properties. To date, over 960 previously disused homes have already been brought back into use through the scheme.
A community meeting is taking place tonight at Trinity Court in Newton Cunningham to discuss plans for the expansion of oyster and mussel farming on Lough Swilly. The Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine has invited public submissions on 12 aquaculture and foreshore licence applications for a number of sites, including the Quay Shore at Newton Cunningham. There are also sites near Buncrana, Rathmullen and Manor Cunningham. Donegal County Council Gaherlach Councillor Paul Canning is based in Newton Cunningham. He's concerned at the potential impacts of an expansion of aquaculture on Lough Swilly.
I would be apprehensive in relation to the project going ahead because of the situation we see in the Lough Foyle. They seem to be unregulated and they're an eyesore. So I would say a lot of the people that will be attending the meeting tonight will be of the same mindset. We are promoting Donegal as a scenic area of beauty, and then to stick oyster farms in areas that are of scenic beauty, I think it's going against the grain. A lot of arguments will be saying that these are supposed to be good for the cleaning of the water and that, like, but there's a bigger picture here, Donal, to be looked at.
You did mention the Foyle, but there is a major difference between the Foyle and the Swilly, and that is because of the cross-border element. The Foyle is under the control of the Lochs Agency, which the Swilly isn't. So presumably that means there'll be more local control over what happens in the Swilly. That doesn't give you confidence that there'll be better regulation.
I think there will be better regulations, but we have to meet regulations, and there's no point in saying what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We have to get it right. And we have to make use of the regulations that are there. We do have to protect the habitat that's down there because there is a lot of qualifying interest in the River Swilly. And whenever farmers and people of that nature are doing items along the land there, they are requested to take heed to the actual Lough Swilly. So I think we need to look after everything that's involved there. So I think the habitat within the River Swilly is key, and also the scenic landscape. We have to protect both.
It is 18 minutes to 6 here in Highland Radio, and Oisin will be here for a sports update after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GA jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 5:45 on Highland Radio, and Oisin Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We start with rugby, and IRFU have opened an investigation into online racist abuse directed towards Edwin Edogbo. The Munster lock from Cove in County Cork made his international debut on Saturday in the Six Nations one against Italy. A number of racist comments were posted below the IRFU's post, which was celebrating his first Ireland cap. The IRFU are working with data technology company Signify, which specialises in protecting against online abuse and also dealing with relative authorities. To football cross-channel, Macclesfield boss John Rooney hopes his side can deliver another huge FA Cup upset tonight. After dumping the holders Crystal Palace out in the previous round, the non-league club hunt another top-flight side this evening as they host Brentford in round four of the competition. Rooney says Macclesfield would love to shock the footballing world once more.
We went into the Crystal Palace game and we're thinking it's like a miracle, but on the day, the lads were outstanding. We were still massive underdogs going into the Brentford game, and I'm sure there'd be a lot more eyes on us expecting an upset than there was in the Crystal Palace game. But, you know, that testament to the club, to the players, to the staff who've done everything behind the scenes.
Well, Brentford boss Keith Andrews says he's treating Macclesfield away in the Cup tonight no differently to a Premier League game. Andrews is out to ensure there's no sensational upset repeat.
This cup in particular is prestigious, and we want to try and go as far as we can. We'll give it the utmost respect, and Macclesfield the utmost respect, like we do every other team. The preparation for Macclesfield will be no different than the preparation was for Arsenal.
Also tonight in England, the top two sides in the Championship go head-to-head. Coventry are at home to league leaders Middlesbrough, who have a two-point lead over Frank Lampard's side. Kick-off there is at 8 o'clock. The GAA, Donegal's Conor O'Donnell, is one of three nominees for this week's GAA Footballer of the Week. The Cairn Donegal has been selected along with Dublin's Con O'Callaghan and Leitrim's Barry McNulty. O'Donnell impressed once again with a goal and 3 points in Sunday's win over Mayo and Letterkenny. Connor is also joined on the team of the week by fellow countyman Brendan McCool. Tyrone of Dara Canavan on the team, while Derry's Shea McGuigan is also included. That 8-point win over Mayo yesterday in Letterkenny has put Donegal top of Division 1 and are the only team in that division with a 100% record. Four Masters Leaving Cert student Conor McCall starred on his first league start for the county, contributing 3 points yesterday. His first two were the opening scores of the game. Donegal boss Jim McGuinness says it was an impressive debut.
He's been very good in training. He's very, very honest. Very honest. You know, his numbers are very, very strong every night in training. He works really, really hard. I think the big thing with him is, you know, that it's a massive step up. We know what he can do at underage football, you know, and so the big thing for him today, and I spoke to him about it last night for a couple of minutes on the phone, was just to be himself, just to be himself and go in and just play and not try to prove to be anything, just go in and play and be natural and relaxed, you know, and try and kick scores if the opportunity comes. And he did that very well. He did that really, really well. So we're delighted for him, you know. I think it helped as well. You know, he had five kind of season campaigners around him. He wasn't being dropped in with two or three others. And they got around him and worked with him and talked him through the game. And that made a difference as well. So it's great. It's a really positive debut for him, making his debut at this level.
In Division 2, Tyrone stormed to their first win of the campaign in Oma. Malachy O'Rourke's side finished with a flurry. Tyrone out 12-point winners against Cavan. But the big story after the game was confirmation that Dara Canavan will now go to Australia for a month, but he's expected back for the championship opener against Armagh. Tyrone manager O'Rourke is hoping the break will benefit the star forward.
This is something that was planned way back before the season. A lot of inter-county players, they're going away at different times. We'd obviously rather see him when he's in form like that. We'd rather see him staying about. But look at Dara, in fairness to him, he's been on the treadmill there for a good while. You know, he's picked up a few injuries along the way, and that there, we've often played him, you know, maybe when we shouldn't have. So hopefully, you know, the wee bit of a break will do him good. He'll come back refreshed and ready to go. And as you can see there today, it means an awful lot to him to put on that Tyrone jersey.
That's Tyrone boss Malachy O'Rourke. And that's just about it from the sports desk for the moment. There is, however, more later on this evening. And in particular, lots of GAA talk in the DL debate. Pádraig Hulfordy will be taking up the reins and standing in for Brendan Devetti tonight. Pádraig will speak with Highland Match pundit Brendan Kilcoyne, Mayo's John Casey, Ryan Ferry, sports editor of the Donegal News, and Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, as they recap the football in action from the weekend and indeed look forward to the next round of ties next weekend. So that's all part of the DL debate live here on Highland after the 7 o'clock news. Ryan.
Thanks, Oisin. And a look at the weather tonight will be cold and generally dry and clear with just a few isolated showers. Any showers may turn wintry on high ground. Widespread frost and some icy patches will develop with lowest temperatures of -3 to 0 degrees in light northwesterly or variable breezes. A cold day tomorrow with frost and any ice lingering for a time during the morning. Dry and bright for much of the day, but cloud will thicken from the south later in the afternoon and evening. Light northerly winds will increase moderate easterly throughout the day, stronger near the coasts. Highest temperatures of just 2 to 4 degrees. A look back at today's main stories. A woman who was regularly raped by her brother-in-law has said the abuse meant that she never got the chance to grow into the person she was meant to be, and she is now constantly fighting to stay alive. 56-year-old Eunan Merritt of Crossroads, Killy Gordon, was convicted by a jury following an 11-day trial at the Central Criminal Court. He's been jailed for 12 years with the final 6 months suspended. He had denied the charges and does not accept the verdict of the jury. Meanwhile, a man who defiled a teenager having sex with her in his car after bringing her for a spin has been jailed for a year and a half. The 25-year-old Donegal man, who can't be named to protect the anonymity of his victim, was originally charged with rape, but the Central Criminal Court heard a plea of guilty to defilement, which was accepted by the DPP. The girl was 16 years old at the time of the offence, while the man was 21 years of age. The man was the girl's older brother's friend and was a frequent visitor to the family home in the run-up to the offence, which occurred in 2021. The first sod has been turned on a new roundabout at the R232 Lahey Pettigo Road turn-off on the N15. It's hoped the works will be completed by the end of the year. Temporary traffic management will be in place on both the N15 and R232, with speed limits being enforced and Donegal County Council warning of delays. Cathaoirleach of the Donegal Municipal District, Micheál Nochtain, says it's an important project. Over €2.1 million has been allocated to Killy Beggs as part of the 2026 Fishery, Harbour and Coastal Infrastructure Development Programme. This is part of a wider €27 million of national funding for capital projects in Ireland's publicly owned harbours. Of the money going to Killy Beggs, €400,000 will be spent on safety and maintenance, €400,000 spent on small craft harbour building completion work, and a further €400,000 will be spent on energy saving measures. And Donegal County Council is being asked to ensure new roadworks in Letterkenny don't commence until after the morning rush hour and cease before evening rush hour begins. It follows a motion at Letterkenny Milford Municipal District from Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, who told members it is a policy that works north of the border. Officials say planning and programming of roadworks already take the potential impact on traffic into account, but Councillor Devine believes more can be done. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with our next bulletin at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 16th of February. The death has occurred of Joe McGrath, Spinog, Burt. Joe's remains will repose at his late residence from 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Removal from there on Thursday morning at 10:30, going to St. Inga's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Sandra Scanlon, Dublin, formerly of the Bungalow Convoy. Sandra's remains will repose at Terence McLintock's funeral home in Convoy tomorrow from 2:30 to 4:30 and from 6:30 to 8:30. A service of thanksgiving for Sandra's life will take place at St. Ninian's Parish Church Convoy on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to New Park Care Centre Patients Activities Fund, care of any family member, or Terence McLintock, funeral director. The death has occurred of Josephine Josie Chambers, née Porter, 2 Sesha View, Donegal Road, Ballybuffet, formerly of Cavan Hill, Lifford. Josephine's remains are reposing at her late home in Ballybuffet. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorer, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Rosary nightly at 9. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Kathleen Breslin, Lower Monaghan, Ardra. Her remains are reposing at McCabe's funeral home, Common Ardra, until 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral Mass in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, tomorrow morning at 11. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. House private, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of McCabe, funeral directors. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has occurred at his late residence of PJ Murray, Mina Goland, Crossroads, Killigordon. Reposing at his brother Seamus Murray's home at Carrick McGrath, Ballybuffet, from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 o'clock. Rosary nightly at 9. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill. Interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Paddy Doherty, Sean of Tullamore, Glenealy. Paddy's remains will repose at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Carndonna, this evening from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bochan, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on cooldaffparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Patients Comfort Fund, Carndonna Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The death has occurred of Beryl Doherty, née King, Seaview Cottage, Schlieffbourne, Malin Head. Beryl's remains are reposing at her home.
Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock for 3:30 Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Lag, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 9 o'clock tonight. Requiem Mass will be streamed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. All flowers are welcome. The death has taken place of Bernard Conaghan, Church Road, Killybegs, reposing at his residence this evening for family and friends. Removal tomorrow to the Church of St Mary of the Visitation, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The mass will be streamed on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member, or McBrearty Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred of Annie Curran, née Brown, Trentilla, St Johnson. Annie is reposing at her late residence today. Funeral from there tomorrow at 10:30, travelling to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to St Johnson Resource Centre, care of any family member, or Kelly's Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.